if this, I know this thing delays a little bit when it comes on. I don't know if it's, there we go, sounds like it's on. We got all kind of knickknacks up here. Good evening. Last time I was up here, I spoke on the evidence of faith. Actually, Jake came up with the title of that sermon after we finished up, because I really didn't have a title. It's kind of ironic. When my daughter was born, we really didn't have a name picked out till like 2 or 3 hours after. But evidence of faith, and where I went was John 16:33, where Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We talked about some statistics the last time I was up here. The main statistic that I mentioned was 10 out of 10 people die. 10 out of 10. We're all going to die, but do we have an eternal plan to fall back on? I mentioned how stock plans or hitting the lottery are nice earthly plans, but nobody knows exactly when they'll die. And those plans also mean nothing after they die. The believer has treasure stored in heaven. The believer does not panic in sickness or death. Why? Because Jesus overcame the world. I also spoke of how if a person is not saved, he or she is ill or deathly ill, we should pray for their salvation first and foremost. Believers, folks that have the Holy Spirit, endure trials and persecution, as we saw with Peter in Acts chapter 12, again when he was in jail, after he saw one of his brothers be murdered by the sword, and they drug him off the jail. And we talked about how when Jesus was on the cross, and Peter was about to go to the cross, and Peter was over there warming his hands by the fire, pretending like he didn't know who he was. So he didn't have the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 12, Peter had the Holy Spirit. We, as believers, have the Holy Spirit. And we saw what happened with Peter when he had the Holy Spirit. He was asleep in the prison. You know, most people, after their friend gets killed in front of them, they're not going to sleep. Okay? And Peter, who was panicked just seeing his friend getting taken to the cross, and was as trying to be a bystander, he was afraid to admit he knew him. But here, he's asleep. He's ready to go to death row. He knew where he was. But because of the Holy Spirit, because of that comforter inside of you, the believer, that every one of us that has Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we have that comforter. Look to Him in these times of trial, when the waves are hitting the boat, when you're going through things that you can't do on your own. You can't. You can't go through it on your own. Tonight I have one scripture for you, and I don't have a marathon up here. What I do have, pastor's asked me to preach this for a long time. He's asked a few scriptures, and one of them just so happens to be one of his favorites. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Titled this, "Eternal Lives Matter." Eternal lives matter. When we hear the words eternal life, we immediately think of heaven. We can only imagine what it will be like based on what we read in God's Word. I know there's a lot of people who say they've been there, and they write books and things like that. We know that's not true. So based on God's Word, we have a lot to look forward to. For the followers of Jesus, it's going to be incredible. Revelation 21, 1 through 4, it says, and this is John, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Can you imagine a day without pain? Heaven's ushers will have to be on alert, because I know Rita will be up there running around every chance she gets. Folks, this isn't just going to last for the church service, the no more pain and no more sorrow, no more tears, like we see with the false healers on TV when people are all amped up on their emotions and adrenaline. No, this is going to last forever. Forever, eternally dwelling together with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Amazing. I do have some questions, though. Are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Who do we talk to for that answer? Where do we go? Our opening scripture says, Jesus Himself said, "I am the way." Jesus is the way. We're in Ohio. The way. Jesus is the way. He is the only way to heaven. The only way. Acts 4:12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." People that say that there are many paths but the same God are dead wrong.
Amen.
Dead wrong.
Amen.
They can believe and spew their heretical vomit all they want. But in John 14:6, our Lord Jesus Christ said that He is the only way. Jesus said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus said in John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The first part of that scripture was pretty nice. But he mentioned something that was coming in the second half if you don't know Him. If you have no interest in Him, He's not going to have any in you either when you're up there standing in front of Him. We got to get this right before we leave here. We got to get this right before we die. This isn't some words that you say one time and you're in heaven. This isn't some sinner's prayer that somebody made up that ain't in the Bible. Did you ever run into someone you haven't seen in a long time and they looked all fit and trim and in shape? And then you see them again like a year or two later. They gained a whole mess of weight. They got blood pressure pills, diabetes real bad. What happened? Philippians 2:12. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out. It doesn't say easy out your salvation with fear and trembling after you do something one time. It says work out. These folks stopped working out and they got off their diet. The same thing that happens to your fleshly body will happen to your spirit too. You got to stick with it. You got to stick with it. It has to be what you do every day. You got to stick with it.
Amen.
Work it out. You got to work it out. It's a workout. Workouts are not supposed to be easy.
Amen.
The easier you make your workout, the weaker and softer your muscle will be. I'm not saying that just because my wife got a new exercise machine. Might have had a little bit of something to do with it. But brothers and sisters, this applies to the Christian and to the spirit inside them.
Amen.
Our daily diet should be all the scripture that we can read or hear. A golden corral of scripture. As much as we want. And a workout consisting of prayer, studying, and a daily walk that is set on and focusing on pleasing our Lord, of whom we want to spend our eternity with. Do we care about eternity? It's a lot longer than right now. If you think that eternity is when Pastor or Jake preaches a 55 to 65 minute message, you're way off. Eternity is forever. Forever. Everyone who lives and everyone who has ever lived will have eternal life. I know, what do you mean, Brother Dave? Because you started off saying eternal life causes folks to think about heaven. I did say that. And it does. But not everyone is going to heaven. But they got to go somewhere. So it should also cause us to think of the lake of fire. Hell and the lake of fire are not the same place. Hell is like waiting in a constant torment at the county jail. And you can't get prayed out of there either. You can't get paroled. There's no bail. There's no government to pardon you. So you're in the county jail, enduring torment until you get moved to your final destination. Full-fledged prison and agony in the burning lake of fire. They're two different places. When Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead, He's going to take you and launch you into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up, the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The only way to avoid going to the lake of fire, the only way, is if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's the only way. He must be in your life. So how do we know if Jesus is in our life? How easy is it to make him second or third? He's got to be first. Oh, I got a golf one Sunday a month, or I got a volleyball tournament, or I'm tired from working all week, and this is the only day that I get to sleep in. Jesus must be first. Oh, I love Jesus so much. I'm a minister or I'm a deacon, but I'm out here marching to support pro-choice and Planned Parenthood's abortion factory that murders more black folks than any gangs or clans or guns ever did. Not Jesus. Not the Jesus in this Bible. He ain't marching with that stuff.
Amen.
So why would people who say that they're Christians or say they love the Lord be part of that? We're going to live eternally in one of two places. We must make sure that we have it right while we're here. We must make sure. This is our chance. We are living court cases right now. Your court case is with every heartbeat. You've got to get it right. You've got to get it right. John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus said, any man, any man. He made no racial distinctions. Those that are saved drink from the fountain of living water.
Amen.
I said the saved all drink from the same fountain.
Amen.
There is no segregation in Christ. We are one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bunch of angels, and a mess of God's children. That's what's going to be in heaven. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We're not taking our flesh to heaven, so we're sure not taking our race either. And all the history that we need to know in this church right now needs to start with in the beginning God and end with the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternal lives matter. If you're sitting in here tonight with no desire to hear God's Word, if church is somewhere you go on Sundays or Wednesdays or Fridays, just somewhere you go, you are heading to the lake of fire. That's where you're headed. We need to cry out to Jesus. We need to get the message to our family members and our loved ones and our friends. No one enters heaven unless they know the way, the truth, and the life. And His name is Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him personally as Lord, you're not getting in. He's not just going to let you in. We live in Youngstown. You let anybody in that just comes to your door? Any stranger? He's not letting you in because He don't know you. You are not a child of God if you are not saved. And you're not getting in. We say that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But if we put politics and skin color before our Savior, I beg to differ that we're related. I beg to differ. Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ with God. If ye then be risen, maybe we're not really in Christ yet. Maybe our affection is not on the things above. Maybe our flesh ain't dead. In Jesus, racial persecution does not matter. Jesus said in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said those who choose to live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we show some Christ-like evidence and endure the persecution, we honor and please our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have to look at ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ, Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Church, can we honestly say what it says in Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can we say that? Do we believe that? Do we live that? Jesus died for the sins of the world, the whole world, everybody that lived and that lives. And they all have a chance to be saved if you're living right now and not sleeping like Rick. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the only way to heaven. We cannot go our way and go Jesus' way at the same time. Can't do it. All of you has to be with Jesus, or none of you will be in heaven. We can't be a little bit in anything else. In John 6, multitudes of people were following Jesus. But when Jesus had other things, saw that there was other things in their life that shared time with Him, those things rose up in front of the Savior. Jesus checked them by saying that He must be everything to them. And they couldn't do it. They went away. All that was left, multitude, thousands of people, was 12 standing in front of them. I ask you, will you be like one of the 12, or will you be part of the multitude that went away? Who or what is first in your life? Can we see past the man-made lies that surround us? Does our racial pride rise up and outrank Jesus Christ? Can we put it behind us and focus on our Lord and Savior? Eternal lives matter,
amen,
and everyone will have one.